Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. I work at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina as the Asian American consultant. I am here to serve and help local churches to develop their disciple-making strategy for the kingdom of God. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Daniel. I met Daniel at a coffee shop about a month ago, and we had a great, great conversation. And I was very inspired by his passion. I was very blessed to hear his vision to reach the nations for Christ. So, Daniel, hello, and thanks so much for coming. Daniel, can you introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sammy. My name is Daniel, originally from Florida. I moved to North Carolina about 4 years ago, and I'm studying at a seminary in North Carolina. And my wife and I are praying and believe the Lord is leading us to Central Asia.
Okay, great. So you said you moved from Florida to North Carolina. Wow. I mean, I heard a lot about the Florida. You have Disney World and Miami and all those beautiful places. So when you were growing up in Florida, did you get to go to those places like Disney World and Universal Studios?
Yeah, I lived about 30 to 40 minutes from Disney and Universal Studios. And I'm more of a Universal Studios guy, so I went there a lot. And then we also had the beach about 30 to 40 minutes the other way. So you can go to both worlds in one day. So it was really a great time.
Awesome. That's great. I mean, that's like my kids' dream place. I have four kids, and then my youngest ones are, they are 7 and 10 years old, and they're at that age to go to those places. But I'm sure that God has, you know, a special plan for you, and God has a really great plan for you to come all the way from Florida to North Carolina for the greater purpose.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to hear your story today. And so excited to share your story with the listeners today. So, Daniel, tell us a little bit about your spiritual background. How did you come to Christ?
Yeah, so I actually grew up going to a church in Orlando all the way through elementary school. And so I believe I had this idea of who God was. I would say that I did not believe in him and did not understand what that meant. But then from elementary school until I was saved in 2005, I kind of just rebelled really against God and really against my parents. Mm. I grew up in a home where my relationship with my dad was not that great. Mm. And so I just never really wanted to be home. And my dad was a good father. And I think it was more of the aspect now when I realize it, looking back, it's more of I just didn't want to be obedient and I was very defiant. And so I was never home. And so I would look up to my friends and their older brothers and would really gained values and what they thought was a good thing in life and what it meant to be a man. And so I looked up to them. And so really from middle school until 2005, I was influenced by them. Mm. I was searching what purpose, you know, my life was supposed to be. And I found myself in drugs and alcohol. And this was what was modeled for me in my neighborhood. And so it moved more towards me not wanting to be home and kind of saying, well, I'd rather be a part of this group than, you know, my home life really. And so I remember there was one time where I was sitting there and just really thinking, is this really my purpose in life? And I believe through that, God, because I was going to a church when I was younger and I had to understand that God did exist, that he was beginning to draw me to him. And then it wasn't until one day in 2005 that a guy that I just met, he invited me to stay the night at his house. And he says, hey, you know, there's a couple guys staying the night. You should too. And I said, yeah, sure, I will. And then he said, well, if you stay the night, you should come with us to church the next day. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, I will. So then I went. And then through that, over a few months and people speaking into my life, I kept hearing these words, God has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. You know, God loves you. And then it was in 2005. I don't remember the exact day. I know there was a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I was at the student ministry. I said, this is what I've been searching for. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking for this father figure to love me. And I was looking into other people and they were sharing these things with me that was still not filling this void I had. Mm-hmm. And then, I said, this is who I need. I need Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the purpose for everything. Mm-hmm. He's who I want to serve and know more. And I surrendered my life to him in 2005.
How old were you?
Oh, I was, let me think here. I was 18.
18.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, you said your father is from Iran.
Yes, that's correct.
And your mother is from?
Honduras.
Honduras.
Yeah.
So you are Iranian / Hispanic / American, correct?
That's correct. It's a big mixture of people in Florida.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, when I meet people and ask me questions like, Sammy, what's your job? I said, I am Asian ministry consultant. Most people think I'm working with people from East Asia, like China, Korea, Japan, or Southeast Asia, like Laos or Cambodia. But that's only 1/5 of Asian continent. Asia is a huge continent. It goes all the way up to the half of Turkey, even Saudi Arabia. That includes all the Central Asia and all of that. Mm-hmm. So when I met you first, Daniel, I was so glad to see my Asian American brother who is from the other parts of Asia. So when you said you're half Iranian, half Hispanic, I was like, wow, that's great to see someone from different background. So you mentioned that your father is an Iranian and you had that relationship, father and son relationship, but later that's really recovered. I mean, through the gospel.
Yes.
Is that father-son relationship in the Iranian family, is it kind of typical? Like, is there any typical disconnection or gap between father and son in Iranian family in general? Or how do you want to say
that? Yeah, so I would say that it varies per family. Mm-hmm. I know that in my instance, most Central Asian, Middle Eastern families, Asian families, mm-hmm. expect their children to go and, you know, work hard just as they right. did. And yeah. and so there's this expectation of education and everything. And so I would say that my father had this expectation of me, yeah. but I did not want to fill those expectations. Yeah. So for my instance, because I was a little bit more defiant, mm-hmm. I would say there was a little bit more tension and but overall, mm-hmm. you know, he was a good dad, and right. he still is a good dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So when you came to Christ, when you were 18 years old.
Yes.
Now, do you have any specific Bible verse that really inspired you? Do you have any, every 66 books in the Bible, they're all God's word. Is there any verse that's sticking out to you mostly?
Yeah, not a specific verse, but I would say Luke 10. Mm-hmm. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Mm. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers.
Amen.
And just that whole passage, especially looking back in Luke 9, mm-hmm. when you deal with the three followers of Christ and they're wanting to follow Christ, but there's obstacles in the way of family, of tradition, mm-hmm. of comfort. And then looking in Luke 10 and seeing that Christ is the Lord of the harvest, mm-hmm. and he's sending out his laborers, and he's promising that he will be with them. Yeah. And that's really been a text that's spoken into my life and constantly encouraged me to keep praying and to keep looking forward to please Christ.
Mm. Amen. That's great. Well, how was your life growing in a national family or a mixed family? where both of your parents are from different countries.
Yeah, so my dad being from Iran, my mom from Honduras, and me being the second generation, it was almost like this third culture that was being set within the home. I had my dad's culture, which was actually the predominant culture within our home, and then my mom's culture, which we had a family member living two houses away from us. So we had those two cultures, and then I was creating my own culture, and then also living out an American, you know, culture, and setting my own within my neighborhood, with just as I grew up. So there was definitely times when I would be exposed to traditions and the culture of like how my mom grew up. And then there were things that I went to with my dad that was strictly Iranian Persian things. And it was really just this aspect of there are other peoples in the world. And it was almost like I was thankful that I can experience those things when other families, they only had one culture.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned that you found models outside of home.
Yes.
Because when you were rebellious and when you were running away. So those models you found from neighborhood, and are they mostly Anglos or different ethnicity, or what kind of people they were?
Yeah, so they were mostly Anglo. And so I actually, though I said I appreciate my parents' cultures, now that I'm looking back, at that time, I also remember there were moments where I didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, one aspect is, why are we having rice and chicken, you know, for dinner every night? You know, I want, you know, hamburger or hot dogs or macaroni and cheese, you know, the typical, you know, barbecue or, and so there was those elements within the culture that I was more attracted to the American culture because I wanted to fit in, and I was searching to be accepted.
Yeah, that's good. When you were growing up, did you feel like you were minority because of your ethnic background, or did you blend well with major ethnic group? It looks like, it sounds like you had a good relationship with the other Anglo majority group, but did you feel like any discrimination from major groups? How did you feel?
Yeah, I feel like I blended in quite well, and that might be due to personality. I like to become friends with everybody, but then also there was aspects growing up where, you know, it depended what was going on within society, in our American society. You know, 9/11, I had a little bit more, I guess, confrontations with people where they would say things to me, or, you know, confuse the two of, you know, being Persian does not mean that I'm Arabic, you know. And so there's a clear distinction between Arab and Persian. And then so it's just thrown into this one pot of, you know, you're from the Middle East, this is who you are, and it's a stereotype. And so I didn't receive that much criticism, but there were times when I did. But overall, I blended in, and I think it's due to just my personality and the friends that I had, and I have a lot of childhood friends that I'm still friends with.
I mean, even up to these days, we see a lot of news about terrorism and ISIS, and that's going on outside. And, you know, people here in the South, especially if they do not have much of information, like understanding about how different Persians are from Arabic-speaking people, how Muslims are different from the ISIS terrorist groups. When you see those people who do not have a information or understanding of those things, do you see that there's more potential for them to discriminate any minority groups in the U.S., like people looking like you, looking like people from Muslim country?
Yeah, so I would say what people don't know, they fear. And because the ignorance is thrown all into, oh, you're from this area, or you look like you're from this area, you must be this kind of person. And I think a lot of that has to do with media and building fear over years of this is who a Muslim is. Mm-hmm. But when you actually in the Triangle area in North Carolina, we have a lot of refugees. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And you meet a refugee, and they are the most welcoming people. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the Middle East or Central Asia, mm-hmm. and really the life happens within the home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that because of the unknown, people fear that. Mm-hmm. The first thing that they want to do is point the finger or mm-hmm. attack because they don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Last question for you is, what's your vision for your life, for future?
Yeah, so my wife and I said earlier, we desire to reach Central Asians, and our vision really, we don't know if God is, our plan is to go overseas, but we don't know if God will open that door. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that door will open and remain open.
Yeah.
But if the Lord keeps us here, mm-hmm. you know, our vision and desire is to see Central Asians come to know mm-hmm. the Father and worship Him, because mm-hmm. everybody worships, mm-hmm. but not everyone is worshiping Christ. And
right.
and we desire that, you know, He is the only one worthy to be worshipped, so we want to point everyone to Him.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, Daniel, thanks so much for answering all those questions, and it is always great to hear your story. In the next episode, we're going to hear more about your calling in your life, how God has called you, how God is equipping you to fulfill the vision God has given in your life. So looking forward to hear your story more. And listeners, thank you so much for listening to episode 1, and we'll love to see you in episode 2. Thank you. God bless you.